Colleagues, ladies and gentlemen, good morning and welcome to our conference call interim report first quarter to 31st of March. I hope you're all well in these unusual times. We have here Oliver Zipse, Chairman of the Board of Management of BMW AG, and Nicolas Peter, Member of the Board of Management of BMW AG Finance. The gentlemen will begin by giving you an overview of business development, and after that, as always, you'll be given the opportunity to ask your questions. I give the floor to Mr. Zipse.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The current situation is extremely challenging for all of us, which makes it even more important to have a clear course, a firm stance, and responsible leadership. This includes balancing business decisions between short-term impact and long-term perspective intelligently and effectively. On the one hand, we have measures to combat the massive impact of the coronavirus pandemic on our business and the way we work. On the other hand, we have future projects we plan to continue or even accelerate. The BMW Group is in a strong position and well-prepared to handle the challenges on both sides. We have intensified and accelerated our Performance > NEXT program, through which we have tapped considerable potential on both the cost and the performance side, and we continue to electrify our product portfolio and are bringing new models on the market at the right time. We're using the time to make our supply chain even more sustainable. All of this helps us to balance business, environmental, and societal challenges equally. Responsibility is and will remain the foundation of everything we do. I have three points to underscore this. First, we're guiding the company through the coronavirus pandemic with flexibility and sound judgment. Second, we remain committed to meeting our climate protection targets. And third, we remain focused on investing to enhance a successful future of the BMW Group. Let's turn to the first topic. No one can reliably predict how the global economy and specifically auto markets worldwide will develop in the next few months. We are therefore prepared for our business to be impacted for a long period. Our decisions and how we steer the company are based on customer demand. The BMW Group is located in over 150 countries with its cars, and as you know, business conditions are different across the globe, and the situation is constantly changing as a result of coronavirus pandemic. At the beginning of March, the sale of vehicles was only restricted in China and parts of Asia. In all other markets, retail outlets were able to go about their business as usual. Only 5 weeks later, by the second week of April, sales had come to a complete halt nearly everywhere in Europe, in Central and South America, Russia, South Africa, India, and parts of Asia. Sales were also restricted at that time in the U.S., Canada, the Netherlands, Scandinavia, and several Asian countries. The only retailers open at that time without any restrictions were in Korea, Japan, Australia, and in China once again. Under these circumstances, our first quarter sales were impacted above all by the economic fallout of the pandemic in China and Asia. There was a pronounced decrease in sales in all our major market regions. Asia, -25%. Europe, -18%, and the Americas, also -18%. To put it another way, we've reached 75% of our sales volume of the previous year in Asia and about 82% in Europe and the Americas. At group level, sales decreased by 20.6% compared with the first quarter of 2019. The geographic spread of the pandemic around the globe from east to west became even clearer in our sales figures for the month of April. with a decrease of about 44% year-on-year. In China, on the other hand, the first signs of recovery started to become visible in March and April. In March, we had minus 88 year-on-year, and in April, we were at plus 13.6 compared to the previous year. But I want to make it clear, China is only of limited use as a blueprint for development in other markets. In our most important sales region, Europe, the picture is extremely mixed. It is clear that automotive demand in countries that have been hit hard by the pandemic, like Spain, Italy, and the UK, will probably remain relatively low for the rest of the year as well. As government containment restrictions are gradually being eased, retail outlets in many markets can now partially reopen. Our dealers have stayed in close contact with customers even during the closure. The dealer mobile sales office was rolled out in more than 60 markets in early April. It allows our sales representatives to video conference with customers so they can advise them and configure vehicles together online. Where legally possible, they also carried out the necessary service and repairs, providing pickup and delivery of vehicles directly to customers. With our investments in the digitization of marketing and sales processes, together with our retail partners, we're exactly on the right track. Our advanced capabilities here increasingly enable a contactless sales process, which during the corona pandemic is a big benefit for both our customers and staff. The global situation remains extremely fragile. On 18 March, we provided an outlook for the financial year 2020. Global sales significantly lower than the previous year, group earnings before tax significantly lower than the previous year, and EBIT margin in the automotive segment of between 2 and 4%. Possible longer-term economic implications of the coronavirus pandemic were not included in this outlook. Over the past few weeks, however, it has become apparent that the measures to contain the corona pandemic have lasted longer in many markets. It is therefore clear that delivery volumes in these markets are not going to return to normal within just a few weeks, as was assumed. As a consequence, we now expect the EBIT margin for the automotive segment to be within a target range of 0 and 3%. Deliveries to customers and group profit before tax are still expected to be significantly lower than in 2019. It is important to me that we're neither pessimistic nor euphoric about initial signs of normalization in a number of markets. We need to take a realistic view and must be fully able to respond accordingly at all times. For this reason, we're taking a measured approach and exercising sound judgment. This applies not only to protecting our employees, but also when it comes to ramping up our production facilities. Since 17th of March, alongside flexibility instruments such as reducing overtime hours and asking employees to take leave, we've also been implementing short-time working at our German plants. Around 30,000 employees are affected. In line with our agreement with the German Works Council, we're topping up the short-time allowance up to 93% of employees' salaries. What the public wants to know is how is short-time working compatible with paying a dividend? The short-time allowance is a benefit paid by the Federal and German Employment Agency. It is funded by unemployment insurance contributions split between employers and employees. It is not state aid, but rather an insurance benefit to preserve jobs. The dividend, by contrast, is always geared towards past results, which is distributed to shareholders retroactively for the prior financial year. The profit-sharing payments received by employees are, by the way, also tied to the dividend. And we cannot forget that many investors are pension funds, which use the dividend for pension schemes. The economic impact of the pandemic will be apparent in the current financial year. and it will also be reflected in the dividend, bonuses, and profit-sharing payouts for the business year 2020. In 2021, this will then become apparent. The most important thing is we have always kept the BMW Group running, even if operations have been reduced. In both production and non-production areas, we have continued to implement measures that were urgently needed. We put an important package of initiatives into effect early on to protect our employees and their families, to maintain our operational capabilities, and to support society in its fight against the virus. We are, for instance, obtaining medical protective equipment and providing relief organizations with vehicles. All our activities are coordinated by our Corona Competence Team in consultation with the authorities and the Robert Koch Institute in Germany. In administrative areas, we're gradually increasing the number of employees going back into the office. All managers in Germany have received a handbook with clear rules on how to adhere to the measures to protect against infection. A few examples include face mask must be worn if a minimum distance of 1.5 meters cannot be maintained, one-way traffic rules for walkways, and assigned seating on plant buses. We will also produce face masks at our Wackersdorf location to meet our own needs. As production is being ramped up, the machines are currently being set up and will start production over the coming week. We are also using our employee app to communicate quickly and directly with nearly 50,000 employees. On 27th of April, we began ramping up our plants in successive structured process that will be strictly aligned with conditions and demand in the respective markets. That is why we will initially restart production with just one shift. The joint venture plants in China, as well as our component plants, already resumed production several weeks ago. Our engine plants, the Rolls-Royce plant in Goodwood in the UK, and the Spartanburg plant in the US have also restarted. The Engulfing, as our largest European plant, will start producing again on May 11. All other German plants, as well as Oxford, Rosslyn, and San Luis Potosí, will follow on May 18 at the earliest. Naturally, a transition towards two-shift operation will depend on further development in the markets. And we will take a cautious approach before a full ramp-up, a key indicator for us will be the monitoring of our inventories. Let me move to the second topic. We remain committed to meeting our climate protection targets. For us, climate protection is a given. It will remain one of the central tasks of our global society. We will deliver on this while at the same time keeping our promises to policymakers. Also, and especially in the face of the coronavirus, we remain more committed than ever to the climate goals that have been agreed. This applies to both the European Union's CO2 targets for 20 and 21 and the introduction of the Euro 6d emissions standard. We are strongly opposed to calls for moratoria, in other words, for deadlines to be postponed. This shows once again the auto industry is not a monolith. We electrified early and systematically and prepared very diligently for the new targets. By doing so, the BMW Group possesses a substantial competitive edge. Even in the first quarter of 2020, we delivered more electrified BMW and MINI vehicles to customers than in the same period of last year, with growth of almost 14%. In March, BMW and MINI, when it comes to newly registered electric vehicles and plug-ins in Germany, this increased by almost 50%. Postponing targets and deadlines would reward those who didn't make adequate preparations. Instead, a restart premium could be used in a targeted manner to connect market efficacy and innovative products. We are open to the idea of moratoria on additional burdens. For example, if registration offices or authorities are closed as a result of the crisis. This could certainly include discussions about deadlines for the introduction of new and pending regulations, such as the Euro 7 standard, for instance. On to my third and final point. We remain focused in our future success and will continue investing accordingly. We will invest more than 30 billion euros in research and development by 2025. This will also include hydrogen fuel cell technology, which we continue to drive forward. As planned, we will of course be electrifying our model lineup across all brands. By 2023, we will have 25 models with a pure electric or plug-in hybrid drivetrain on the road. This will also include the upcoming generation of the BMW 7 Series, both as an electric model and a plug-in hybrid variant. We have used the past few weeks for the necessary remodeling at our plants. At the Munich plant, we have been preparing for production of the fully electric BMW i4. The Dingolfing plant is gearing up for the launch of the BMW iNEXT. Both will be released in 2021. There will be no compromise when it comes to the iNEXT. This vehicle will enable highly automated driving on motorways. In the current situation, we are carefully reviewing all our projects as a matter of principle. We're analyzing structural and construction projects as well as product decisions. And we're asking ourselves, will these products contribute to the long-term success of the company? Are they still viable? And is their timing still feasible, especially under new circumstances? And since it's always expected demand that is relevant, we have decided, for example, to postpone the opening of the plant in Hungary by 1 year. Ladies and gentlemen, around the world, the impact of the corona pandemic is dominating virtually all areas of the economy and our daily lives. Although this disruption may continue for a long period of time, we are also thinking ahead of what comes after. We are reviewing different scenarios and developing measures and initiatives that will make the BMW Group even more adaptable. Thinking in scenarios will enable us to be far more agile and flexible, to make decisions and to effectively combat the challenges. It is also clear that the impacts of the coronavirus come on top of the complete transformation of mobility. As a result, it will accelerate the consolidation of our industry. I'm confident that the strength of the BMW Group, even in such a challenging time, lies in its ability to act in a responsible manner while maintaining its course to a successful future. Thank you. Thank you, Oliver Zipse, and now Dr. Peter. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. The spread of the coronavirus and the measures to contain it strongly affected the BMW Group's business development in the first quarter of 2020. Sales decreased significantly, especially in China. This impacted our earnings position in the first 3 months of the year. Local production facilities and retail outlets there have since reopened, and the situation is now recovering there. In March, due to the decline in demand resulting from the coronavirus, we shut down production at our European plants in the US and South Africa. When they can ramp up again, will depend on how customer demand develops after the gradual opening of more retail outlets. The situation remains extremely volatile. As before, it is still unclear how and when public life will be largely back to normal. For this reason, it is currently not foreseeable that demand for automobiles will move towards the level assumed in mid-March over the next few weeks. As Oliver Zipse already explained, we're currently planning in various scenarios. Accordingly, we're expanding our guidance for the financial year and are now expecting an EBIT margin in the automotive segment of between 0 and 3%. I'll go into more detail on the guidance shortly. Ladies and gentlemen, particularly in crisis situations, liquidity is essential. The BMW Group further increased its already strong liquidity position to almost 19 billion euros at the end of the quarter. We still have the best rating of any European car manufacturer and the second best worldwide. Because of our solid credit rating, we continue to enjoy good access to international capital markets. We keep our word, and that is even more true than ever during the crisis. For the previous financial year, 2019, we will pay a dividend to our shareholders and share our profit with employees as promised. Let's now take a closer look at business development over the first 3 months. Group revenues for the first quarter totaled 23.25 billion euros. Despite positive pricing and model mix effects, revenues in the automotive and motorcycle segments decreased. This was mainly due to weaker demand in China resulting from the coronavirus and closure of many dealerships worldwide. Group revenues rose slightly overall. This is largely stemmed from lower revenue eliminations as well as from an increase in revenues in the financial services segment. The financial result was significantly lower than the previous year at minus 577 million euros. Last year's figures had benefited from the one-time appreciation effect of pooling our mobility services with the Daimler Group. The financial result was also impacted by the negative development in the market value of interest rate derivatives driven by lower interest rates in the US. The temporary downturn in demand in China and the negative impact this had on BBA earnings contributed to this decline. Another factor was the negative operating result from the Euronow companies. Group pre-tax earnings, which were also impacted by the effects I described, totaled 798 million euros. This figure was slightly higher year on year due to, in part, to positive effects from inter-segment eliminations. In the first quarter of 2019, earnings had been dampened by the provision of around 1.4 billion euros in connection with ongoing antitrust proceedings. The EBT margin for the first quarter of 2020 remained unchanged from the previous year at 3.4%. We expect to face continued earnings headwinds, especially in the second quarter, as a result of the decrease in sales, first in China and now in other regions of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the first quarter was dominated by the global pandemic, which is now having a major impact on the real economy. In this challenging situation, we continue to concentrate on managing the crisis. We remain focused on managing the crisis, and nevertheless, we also concentrate on the future. We're also planning now for the time after the coronavirus. This is also reflected in our research and development costs. In the first quarter of 2020, we invested 1.32 billion euros in research and development. This remains at the same high level as last year. As expected, the R&D ratio according to German Commercial Code was 5.7% and therefore slightly lower than the previous years. We are securing our future competitiveness by making targeted investments in new and attractive products like the iNext and our popular X models. The CapEx ratio for the first quarter was 3.0%, which is significantly below the previous year. In light of the current situation, we will be delaying a number of projects, like the plant in Hungary. Other projects will be carefully reconsidered. Now more than ever, our investments need to be targeted and based on sound judgment. For the current year, investments primarily in property, plant and equipment will be below 4 billion euros after nearly 5.7 billion euros in 2019. Ladies and gentlemen, let's move on to the individual segments. Thanks to the major model initiative of recent months, the BMW Group initially made a promising start to the year and was reporting sales growth in the automotive segment. Our young and attractive product portfolio is winning over customers. Our excellent product mix and improved pricing also helped the year begin well. We implemented a whole range of high-impact measures a few years ago to continuously improve our performance. These efforts are now bearing fruit, thanks to our corporate program, Performance Next, which will now be intensified once more. We are in good shape operationally. However, by February, the pandemic had already significantly impacted sales in China. Overall sales there dropped by almost a third in the first quarter. The good news is that this trend was reversed in March, with signs of recovery in this market. However, by March, in Europe and the US, the initial effects of the pandemic were also clearly visible. First quarter sales were significantly lower as a result. The BMW Group delivered a total of over 477,000 vehicles to customers in the first quarter of this year. This is a decrease of 20.6% from the previous year. Despite negative sales growth, segment revenues totaled almost 18 billion euros and were therefore only moderately lower than the previous year, thanks to positive price development and the strong model mix. As expected, earnings were dampened too. The EBIT margin for the first quarter was 1.3%. The segment's operating earnings of 229 million euros were significantly higher year on year. The provision recognized in connection with antitrust allegations had strongly impacted last year's earnings. As expected, the financial result was significantly lower than the previous year's at minus 149 million euros. This reflects the negative effect of the BBA earnings contribution. Another factor is the one-time appreciation effect I already mentioned, from pooling our mobility services last year, which is, of course, no longer included in this year's figures. The global pandemic also impacted free cash flow in the automotive segment. The total for the first quarter was minus 2.2 billion euros. The lower operating result contributed to this negative effect, since the previous year's antitrust provision was a non-cash item that had not been included in the cash flow. Trade payables also decreased from mid-March on due to production being suspended at several locations. Once plants are up and running again, this effect should be reversed over the coming months. The first quarter also saw a seasonal increase in inventories, which was amplified by the closure of retail outlets. While the plants are ramping up production, we will focus on systematically reducing our inventory levels as soon as sales channels reopen. The development of free cash flow for the full financial year depends significantly on the earnings side. Despite the decrease in investments and a strict management of working capital, we nonetheless no longer expect to achieve a positive free cash flow in the automotive segment for 2020. Ladies and gentlemen, the financial services segment also felt the adverse effects of the containment measures and resulting closure of dealerships. In the first 3 months of 2020, the financial services segment concluded just under 450,000 new contracts with retail customers. This represents a slight decrease of 4.2%. That can largely be attributed to weaker financing business, especially in China. As expected, higher provisions for residual value and credit risks dampened pre-tax earnings. This item decreased significantly year on year to 484 million euros. In the era of dealer and customer financing, we have introduced appropriate measures to mitigate the crisis on a case-by-case basis, including moratoriums and temporarily increasing loans to dealers. The pandemic's impact on used car markets in the premium segment cannot be reliably predicted so far. In anticipation of losses in market value, we already made market-specific adjustments to provisions for the portfolio that is subject to residual value risks in the first 3 months. We make comprehensive provisions for our main business risks on an ongoing basis. Due to the current volatile development in connection with the coronavirus pandemic, further negative effects on the risk situation in the financial services segment may arise in the subsequent quarters. Based on current assessments, we continue to be appropriately hedged against residual value and credit risks. The motorcycle segment was also affected by the coronavirus and its consequences. Since Europe is traditionally the strongest market for this segment, we expect to see more significant headwinds in the second quarter. A total of nearly 35,000 motorcycles were delivered to customers between January and March. This is down almost 10% from the previous year. The operating result decreased as a result to 72 million euros. The EBIT margin of 12.9% remains at a high level. Ladies and gentlemen, let's now turn to our guidance. The uncertainty surrounding the global spread and resulting consequences of the coronavirus makes it difficult to provide an accurate forecast of the BMW Group's business performance for the financial year 2020. The continuing restrictions on business operations, as well as the extension of the lockdown measures, particularly in Europe and the US, have further depressed the midterm economic outlook for 2020. A rapid recovery of automobile markets seems unlikely. In our guidance, we assume that the economic environment will begin to stabilize in the third quarter of the year. Possible effects of a second wave of infection and a corresponding containment measure are not taken into consideration in this assessment. Likewise, a possible even more severe slowdown of the Chinese economy as a result of the developments in Europe and the US are not included. Market distortions due to an increased competitive environment also present a risk for our guidance. Currently, we expect that the effects of the crisis will impact us significantly longer than was assumed in mid-March. That is why we plan in scenarios and ranges for our guidance and are continually reviewing our outlook. The assumption is that global sales will continue to be significantly lower than last year. Due to the extremely volatile situation, we have expanded the range of our EBIT margin in the automotive segment. For the full financial year, we now expect an EBIT margin of between 0 and 3% in the automotive segment. Deliveries in the motorcycle segment are forecast to decrease significantly during the forecast period. The EBIT margin will be between 3 and 5%. On the financial services side, we now expect the return on equity to be moderately lower, mainly due to a decline in the volume of new business and increased refinancing costs, as well as a more volatile risk environment. As before, group profit before tax for 2020 is expected to be significantly below the previous year. The targets are to be achieved with a workforce size no longer at a similar level to the previous year, but slightly under previous year's level. Ladies and gentlemen, we expect that the current crisis will impact the entire automotive industry for the foreseeable future, well beyond 2020. Despite the current crisis, however, the BMW Group is still on a solid financial footing. Our stable credit rating and good access to capital markets mean that our liquidity is secured. At the same time, we are quickly and systematically implementing efficiency and cost reduction measures. We will continue to carefully monitor the situation and are prepared to react quickly and flexibly at any time to to further developments. Thank you. This was the Nicola Peter colleagues. We now have time to take your questions. I would now like to ask the colleagues to give the technical instructions for the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll now begin with the Q&A session. If you'd like to ask a question, press the keys 0 and 1 on your telephone. You will then be given the opportunity to ask your questions. To withdraw a question, push 0 and 2 on your phone. If you're listening over the loudspeaker, I'd like to ask you to pick up the receiver to ask your question. Thank you, and a minute for the first question. First question, Oliver Sacco, Bloomberg. Good morning. I have two questions for you today. The first one, it's about the plant in Hungary. There's no original, you didn't communicate an original date for opening that plant. Can you tell us what the original start date would have been and what the new date is? Second question, we're well into the second quarter. Can you perhaps give us more details about how the second quarter is going? You said sales decreased in April. Now, how about the other figures in the second quarter? Thank you, Mr. Peter. Well, Mr. Sachgau, the first question. I cannot really tell you. I mean, we postponed the start by at least a year. As Mr. Zipser said, there is really not more to say about it at the moment. Regarding the outlook for Q2, I think in my speech I made it quite clear that the second quarter will be yet more difficult than the first one. Why is that? Well, especially in Europe and in the United States and Canada, the sales markets are still closed. Most of them are. Take UK, for example, 100% of retail is closed at the moment. Now, we're in mid-May almost, and we're assuming that the second quarter will be very, very difficult. Thank you. Next question, please. Markus Fasse, Handelsblatt. Good morning, gentlemen. I have two questions as well. You said China is recovering, but the major problem seems to be the US market at the moment, in addition to Europe. There seem to be problems, especially on the credit markets. A large amount of car credits could bust. I've heard from you that you made market-specific adjustments. Now, you didn't quantify that. Daimler said they had 400 million. Maybe you can give us a figure as well. You also said that further adjustments could have to be made as a result. I conclude from this that the entire credit portfolio and the entire problem have not been finally assessed yet. Could you perhaps tell us how you assess the situation? What possible risks do you see and how big could that problem still become? And the second question relates to the so-called car summit you had yesterday with the German Chancellor, you and your colleagues from Volkswagen, Daimler, and the suppliers. You had a meeting with Mrs. Merkel, and there was a discussion of this restart premium purchase incentives. Could you tell us how that discussion went from your point of view and in view of your high liquidity, and your liquidity has yet again increased to 19 billion. How could you substantiate that you need governmental support in order to push sales? Thank you, Mr. Fasse. Let's begin with Mr. Peter and then Mr. Zipse. Mr. Peter. Herr Fasse, yes, I can give you an indication. In the first quarter, for residual values and credit risks, there is a low three-digit million amount which we have additionally provided. And further adjustments, well, I wouldn't exclude them over the course of the year. That depends on the economic overall development, especially in the three major leasing markets, the US, UK, and Germany. That's it, sir. Well, Mr. Fasse, let me briefly summarize. The discussion we had yesterday was quite constructive. Car manufacturers, suppliers, the German Car Maker Association, many people from the government took part in it. It was very constructive, quite technical, matter of fact. The discussion also included all relevant aspects. Now, this restart premium, it's not meant as a scrapping bonus. It's meant to push innovation. And the discussion was in order to push purchases by customers. Such a premium could have a good effect. We're not asking for that premium or bonus for ourselves. It's not a payment made to support car manufacturers, but to support customers who are supposed to buy cars. It's something received by customers, not by the car manufacturers, in order to support the entire market. This is likely to be misunderstood. You see, the car industry is a systems integrator, and there are many, many other industries attached to it further downstream. To give you a figure, about 80% of the value added is not with car manufacturers, but service providers, suppliers, and so on. And we're talking about an effect to push the entire economy. We'll be able to react flexibly if, I mean, again, it's not we who are asking for such a premium, but we think it would be good for our customers because the automobile industry can act as a lever. We understand that in public perception, a restart premium just for the automobile industry is probably difficult to sell unless it is part of a larger program to boost the economy. We, of course, understand this. And we said that we'll meet again in June. And I think May is a good month to simply go and see what does the economy need as a whole and if in the end all of this is embedded in a larger program to boost the economy, I guess we're all in agreement. Thank you. Next question, please. Edward Taylor, Reuters. Thank you, gentlemen. Could you perhaps tell us to which extent you need to increase your austerity program? I think you talked about 12 billion so far, and in which areas are you intending to make savings? For example, are you still working on level 3 vehicles, and when will such vehicles be launched? Thank you, Edward. Peter, please. Well, I'll respond to the second part of your question. Yes, there will be a level 3 vehicle. We're working on it, and it is to be integrated in the BMW iNEXT. The second point, yes, the austerity program will be yet intensified, and as I mentioned, especially it will be extended to the field of investments. So this year already, these will be going down, and then also personal costs. But could you quantify it, give us some figures? Will that be 13 or 14 billion? Well, no, we can't do that yet. What's important, Mr. Taylor, is that we implement measures quickly. And there's, you know, certain things that we do not consider to be absolutely critical now will be postponed. Does that also somehow depend on restart premiums? I mean, if I look at environment bonus, tax relief, and now this so-called, boosting the economy, which is to serve only the customer, not the company. Is that already taken into account when you talk about your austerity measures? Well, no. No, there's no connection between the two. Thank you. Next question. Marcus Clausen, Dow Jones. Good morning to Munich. I'd like to ask about cash flow in the automotive segment. You said this year it will not be positive yet. Could you give us an indication? What is the negative amount of the cash flow in the automotive segment? For Q2, I'd like to ask. The EBIT, could you perhaps tell us how high that will be roughly? And third point, savings volume, we've already heard about that. You said, Mr. Peter, that things will be, or certain measures will be postponed. Could you give us an indication whether for 2020 you will remain at 12, or maybe in years after that there'll be a few billions more? Thank you. Mr. Peter, please. Well, let's begin with your second question. Q2. We're in the middle of a second quarter. It will be a negative quarter. The amount, well, we'll have to see. It depends on how some of the markets will ramp up, and it's simply too early to quantify this. And this is why we deliberately corrected the EBIT range in our guidance. And as far as the order of magnitude is concerned, we can really not give an indication yet, not for the free cash flow either. This really depends decisively on how earnings will develop in the next 7 months. Now, I think what's important to clarify, this is not about postponing measures of the Performance Next program. No, this is about postponing certain issues and projects in order to take some burden off us for the next few years. And I'm quite optimistic that we are creating a sound basis here, not only to get through 2020 reasonably, but also in order to have a positive development in the years after. Next question, please. John Müller, Financial Times. Good morning. Just one question. Do you already see increasing demand or an increasing interest in individual mobility because people are now worried or have concerns using public transport? Thank you. I'll pass the question to Mr. Zipse. Well, Herr Müller, the range of individual mobility is a large one. Let's begin with cars. Of course, and I said this earlier, all the time we've had demand on the market. In April, I mean, it was in a high two-digit range. And the more the markets open now, the more the demand will increase. The only question is, when will we get back to the level we had forecast a couple of months ago? But of course, demand will be increasing as soon as retailers open. But individual mobility is a term that encompasses much more. Now, there's like taxi business and car sharing and all forms of alternative mobility. All this has suffered much, much more. Take all the airports, for example, that have ceased operation. They've had declines of more than 90%. Now, car rental business also died as a consequence of that, and the associated taxi business. So the reduction in that kind of individual mobility is much, much greater. We're also observing that in our joint venture now, where we offer all forms of individual mobility. And we're also, well, we're monitoring this very closely to see what are temporary effects and what are more sustainable effects. We firmly believe that now in the taxi business, that's pretty stable also for the future. but now alternative sharing offers and how this will change, that's something that remains to be seen. But all in all, we could say they really have suffered greatly. Of course, we're also seeing a trend that people no longer use public transport because of Corona, and they now resort to using cars. This is an effect we also see. Next question. Max Hegler, Süddeutsche Zeitung. Good morning, thank you. I have a couple of questions. Now, this innovation premium or restart premium, to which extent is that important for your segment at all? Or is it even reasonable, meaningful? Fleet operators are among your major customers, and to them, I guess it doesn't really matter. So this is more likely a premium for the mass market in the A and B segments. Perhaps you could comment on that. Then, question for austerity measures. Ad hoc last night, you spoke of a slight decline in the number of employees. Could you give us any indication? It would really be helpful also for your staff, you know. What's the scope? Of course, how much decline will there be? A four-digit number or whatever, of course, in agreement with the Works Council. Third question, CO2. CO2 is never really addressed. I mean, people have or are asking a postponement of targets. You've never mentioned this. Others have, though. Could you perhaps describe what's going on in the background? Are there any ideas of actually pushing those CO2 targets back into the distant future? All three questions will be answered by the CEO, Mr. Zipfel. Good morning, Mr. Hegler. Thanks for your questions. Now, what I already said before about this premium, it's the customer who is in focus. And we have all sorts of customers. There's fleet customers, private customers, there's used car customers. And in order to support this premium in its effectiveness, we want to achieve an effect in all market segments. This is why it's important that this is not only a premium for e-cars or only for private customers, but the effect is created by increasing the number of units. All market segments, also the fleet customers need to be included. So a premium, of course, also applies to a fleet, goes without saying. What is important, though, is when we talk about sustainability, we already have a program in place, the environmental bonus, and that works very well. Last year, together with the government, we did everything right. This is going well, not only for BMW, but all car manufacturers. Of course, you could reinforce it, but you don't have to, because that bonus already exists. So we would like to have a more widespread effect, such as all cars with reduced CO2 are supported, including combustion engines and hybrids, that all of these models in the market get some support. On the other hand, if you're too specific, you cannot reach the entire market and you cannot give the entire economy a boost. That was also my answer to your first question. Now, when it comes to our headcount, the discussion in the public, and of course I understand it, I mean, the discussion seems to concentrate very much on headcount, number of staff, but that totally leaves out of account that we have very many and flexible instruments in order to use employees differently, commensurate with the situation. We have temp workers, and ever since the crisis that we had, the one in 2008, 2009, then the robot crisis, and this goes way back to 1992-93, where we had agreed on a principle that we will always be flexible in terms of staff, more flexible than any other manufacturer. So, firstly, we can reduce temp workers. And with that, we already managed to reduce capacities without touching BMW associates. Then, of course, we have a certain fluctuation. fluctuation in the year will be about 5,000. Some of them leave for age reasons. The other half is natural fluctuation that you could make use of. Then, of course, we have limited contracts where we could decide whether or not to extend those. Then we have those overtime accounts. And we had a very good market development last year where overtime was accumulated and now we're reducing that. Then we are able to approve leave and holidays early now. We have certain levers to reduce the amount of working time per employee individually, going from a 35 hours per week to a different number of hours per week. Well, we're not there yet, but all of these are possibilities we have. We have 35, 37, 40-hour agreements, and as part of our agreement with the Works Council, we're able to reduce that to a lower number of hours. What I want to say is there are many, many instruments. There is a great degree of flexibility that we can still make use of before we even talk about anything else. And I guess more than the guidance that we have given is, well, we cannot be given at the moment because we really need to respond to the market situation. So my answer to your second question was that. And the third question, CO2 postponement of targets. I already said that this is no question for us because in our industry, everything needs about, you know, we're planning 3 to 5 years ahead. This is how our product program works, how our system of building blocks works, be it combustion or electrified vehicles. And regardless of whether the total volume goes down, I mean, fleet legislation in Europe, that is, you know, defines ratios, and these haven't changed. 50% increase in Germany alone in electrified drivetrains, all of that is fine. So from our point of view, and I can only speak on behalf of BMW, there is no reason at all to change anything about what has been agreed on or to change anything about the regulations and laws for 2021. The same goes for the introduction of Euro 6d. Sure, you could talk about introducing additional, even more stricter laws, and we could actually talk about this point in that, but there we'd be talking about 2025, 2030, Euro 6d on the emissions side, you know, whether or when that will be replaced by Euro 7, that's certainly a matter we could talk about, and that affects the entire automobile industry. But let me repeat, to us at the moment, for the current year and also for next year, we're not in favor of postponing any of these targets or requirements. Thank you. We have time for one further question. Next question, Olaf. Die Welt, die Welt am Samstag. Thank you. Two questions probably to Mr. Pipse. Could you explain again this innovation bonus? What exactly does it look like? You're saying Euro 6d for the diesel. You still see it has a future in the market. I mean, at the moment, the diesel affair is before the courts, and there's a lot of talk about it. Second question, this trend that you identified, you and other manufacturers, that people will now turn more towards the car when it comes to individual mobility, especially younger customers. Could you envisage that this will last beyond the summit of the pandemic, that in the long run, more people will be buying their own cars rather than making use of car sharing, or is this just a current effect? Thank you, Mr. Preuss. Mr. Zitze? Well, Herr Preuss, Euro 6d. The BMW Group follows the customers and their demand. And diesel cars are fairly stable, also now in a crisis. The absolute volume is reduced, sure, but in relation to combustion engines, really, diesel has stabilized because diesel has advantages. It has a long reach, it's cost efficient, so this is fairly stable. You just mentioned that diesel affair or scandal. Well, BMW is not affected by it. BMW is not part of this scandal. And for this reason, you know, the gradual implementation of Euro 6D is coming, and I guess the date 1st of July and then the final conversion 1st of January 2021, we will be able to comply with that, and the rest is up to the regulator, and we'll comply with all regulations and laws, and whether or not the customer thinks the product is adequate in the end, well, we'll have to see. Now, turning to your second question, as I already said before, currently we do see that people tend to, you know, use a car, whether it's shared, leased, rented, whatever. Yes, we do see a trend, but right here and now, I cannot make a forecast that it'll stay that way. The approach is that, you know, everything we do, especially also with our joint venture, this goes towards multimodal mobility. We follow the customer. If the customer doesn't want to own a car, then there's various offers of using cars otherwise, and we follow these wishes. And the rest will be decided by town planners, the offering of public transport, and the current and very specific behavior now under the Corona crisis. Sure, that also has an effect. So people tend to, you know, use their cars more than public transport. But I cannot tell you whether that will be a long-term effect. But we believe globally, and the world is not just Germany, we believe in the future of the car, no matter how it's operated, whether it's in a fleet, where it's owned by a private customer, whether it's shared or driven, the car has a future, and we firmly believe in that future. Thank you, Mr. Zipse. Colleagues, thanks for your questions. We will now end today's call, saying hello from Munich, and goodbye.